Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Pesachim daf Samach Hey. We left off in daf Samach Talad on Beis, about 8-9 lines from the end of the page. We're at Kibbul Samalei Umachziris Hareka. And today's shiur is sponsored by many sponsors: Baruch Hashem, by Dr. David Lander, anonymous wife and children, anonymously the Nishmas of Rabbi Kelmer, Zechazad of Bracha, by the Outdoor Minion in Woodmere, known as Church Avenue Minion, the Nishmas, our friends, neighbors, and members, Yuri Sternfeld, Yehuda Aryeh Ben Chaim Tuvia Alevi, Olav Hashalom, and Moshe Schwartz, Moshe Yitzchak, Ben Yisrael Yaakov, Olav Hashalom, and for Shlema Tefega Peril Bastava Rivka, also by Shaki Klar, Lila Nishmas' mother, Yenti Bas Avram, Allah Hashalom, Zyar said is this week, also by the Psachim boys, the Chavrusa of three Talmidim from BMT, who continue their decades-long quest to complete and conquer Maseches Psachim, also by Margie and David Sachs, Leila Nishmas, David's grandfather, Eli Neustadler, Yechiel Ben Moshe, Alav HaShalom, and also by Tova and Michael Pearl, in honor of their son Alex's Hanachas Tfilin. Mazel Tov to Alex and Tova and Michael, and we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding, as I said, on the bottom of Samach Dalet Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to continue today to go through elaborating on each line of the Mishnah that described the procedure for the Korban Pesach. And then the first Mishnah, and that's going to take us till the end of the Perek. And then the first Mishnah, the sixth Perek, is going to discuss which parts of the bringing of the Korban Pesach can be done on Shabbos, which cannot be done on Shabbos, and which are subject to Machlokas. And the Mishnah includes a very lengthy debate of the potential proof that certain acts can be done on Shabbos. We'll see how far we get as far as that mission is concerned. But let's begin 8 or 9 lines from the end of the page on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis. Kibbul Samalei Umachziris HaReikon. Oh, also, I want to thank my dear friend and Talmud, Donnie Ross, for allowing me to use his office space here in South Florida while I'm here, so I don't have to wake up the entire house that we're staying in doing the Daf Yomi at 6:15 in the morning. So says the Gemara. Kibbul Samalei Umachziris HaReikon. Aval Ipchalo, that yes, when the Kohen receives the Kli that's Mali with Dam, he has to first take that one before he returns the empty one that he's passing along the line of Kohanim who are holding either Kulo Kesef or Kulo Zav. Avlip Chalo, he cannot give up the empty one before he receives the full one. This is based on the principle of Ein Mavir Na LeMitzvos, that if you have a mitzvah that you have the opportunity to fulfill, you're not allowed to pass it up. So first you have to take the opportunity to do the mitzvah, and only then pass up the empty one. Kohen HaKorvetz al Mizbech. Then we said the Kohen that's standing closest to the Mizbech is Zorik Zrika Achas Keneged HaYisod, we said. So Man Tana Pesach Bezrika, who's the one that holds, which Tana holds that the Korban Pesach, the Dam of the Korban Pesach, should be Nizrak on the Mizbech, and not just poured on the Mizbech, but thrown from some distance? Amar Rav Chista Rabbi Yossi Aglilihi. That's the Shita Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Titanya Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Darshan's a pasuk that it tells us by a Bechor Behema, the pasuk says, as damam tizrok al mizbech, ves chalbam taktir. Damo lo ne'emar ela damam, chelbo lo ne'emar ela chelbam. It's talking about a bechor, but it speaks in plural, even though the chora, it's only talking about one type of korban. So what does that tell me? Limed al bechor, u meiser, u pesach. It must be that it's not only talking about a bechor, it's talking about not only a bechor, but also meiser behema, and also korban pesach, that shehen tunin matan dam ve'murin legabim mizbech, that all of them require matan dam ve'murin legabim mizbech. So since Rabbi Yossi Lili Darshan's Matan Dam of Korban Pesach from the pasuk that talks about Bechor, and from the Lashon of Tizrok that it says, we learn that the Dam of Pesach is put on the Mizbech Derech Zrika and not Derech Shvicha. So we see that our Mishnah holds that Dam of Pesach was placed Bezrika, must be going like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So says Gemara, but Minalim Detunin Yesod. How do I know that it's placed Dafka on a part of the Mizbech where there's a Yesod underneath that part? Because as we mentioned, the Yesod only runs along the north and west sides of the Mizbech, but does not run along all four sides of the Mizbech. So how do I know that the Zrik has to be placed dafka on a part of the Mizbech where there's a Yesod right there? Because we derive Zrika Zrika Gzeira Shava from Karban Ola. Ksiv Hacha, it says by the pasuk that tells us about a Bechor and Meisar and Pesach as Damam Tizrok al Mizbech. Ksiv Hasam, and by Karban Ola it says Vazorku b'nei Aaron Eskwanim Esam al Mizbech Saviv Ma Ola tu'un Yesod af Pesach Lamiton Yesod. So we see that just like Karban Ola requires Yisod, so do Karban Pesach also requires Yisod. So it says Marva Lugufa Minalan. How do I know that Karban Ola requires Yisod, that you have to do the Matan Dam Dafka on an area of the Mizbeach where there's a Yisod Tachtov, where there's a Yisod Mizbeach under that area? So Amakra Al Yisod Mizbeach Ola, because the Torah tells us when it talks about the Chatos that the Melech brings, it says Al Yisod Mizbeach Ola. It could have just said Al Yisod HaMizbeach, because the Pasuk had already said that V'nosan Al Kanros Mizbeach Ola. We know which Mizbeach it's talking about. Why does it have to once again identify in the context of a different carbon, in the context of a chatos that a nasi, that a melech brings, it has to identify the mizbach ha'ola? So alma ola to an yisod. It must be telling me that there's something about a carbon ola and the yisod, that whenever you bring a carbon ola, it's to una yisod. It needs to be placed on the part of the mizbach where there is a yisod. So that's how I know that it's true about an ola. And from the gzereshava of tizra of zrika zrika, we know that whatever's true about the carbon ola is also going to be true about the bechor, the Meister and the Pesach. So that's how I know that Karban Pesach needs the Matan Dam by the Yisod HaMizbeach. Yatsa Kasri Shona. Then the Mishnah went on to say that the first group, that there were three groups. So the first group then went out, and the second group came in and did exactly what the first group did. And then the second group came out, and the third group came in. And we said that by the third group, there weren't even that many people. They didn't even get as far in Halel as Ahavti even one time around. So Tani Hinekres Kasatzlanis. That third group is called the lazy group. What do you mean it's a lazy group? The Klal Yisrael didn't fit unless they were divided into three groups. They had to be there. There had to be a third group. So how could we criticize them? So what are they supposed to do? Yeah, there's got to be a third group, but you don't have to be part of that third group. There will always be other people that will be willing to be in that third group. So they are called the Kat HaTzlanis, even though they have to exist. Kintetanya, and this is along the lines of what the Brisa teaches us, that Rabbi Omer, Yev Shalom, Blo Basam, Blo Borsi. The world doesn't exist without people who sell sweet-smelling spices and without people who are involved in tanning hides, which is a very awful-smelling thing. But Ashrei Mishum Nosu Basam, Vailu Mishum Nosu Borsi. But fortunate is someone who deals with sweet-smelling things all day, and not someone, and woe unto someone who has to deal with very smelly, with horrible-smelling things all day. Yev Shalom, Blo Zchor. The world does not exist without men and women. But fortunate is one whose sons are male, and an unfortunate is one. So first of all, just in terms of the mashal that we're giving over here of the basim and the borsi and the zecharim and the nekevos, the Karbatoda explains that the reason he says oilal misham shumnasa borsi is because a person has to have bitachon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to provide him with parnasa no matter what. That it's not, we have a klal of b'zeis ha'pecha toch alechem, so we have to work for a living, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that ultimately provides the parnasa. So for a person to believe that it's only, the only way he's going to make money is if he goes into the tanning business, and otherwise he can't be successful, it means he doesn't appreciate the Ashkachas Hashem that's involved in parnasa. You could do an umnas nekiyah v'kala, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide if HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides that a person should make a good parnasa, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide the parnassa. It's not a function of the particular field that a person chooses. One's parnassa is not a function of the particular field that he chooses. So a person should choose a field that is fulfilling, a field that is pleasant, a field that allows him to be able to learn Torah and do other mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. As far as the mashal of banim zecharim and banim nekevos, so in the Benayahu he says, why is it ashrei mi shabanim zecharim? It is a basic halachic requirement of Puru Revu, and we Paskin in Mesachas Yevamos Daf Samach Aleph and Beis, that Beis Hillel holds that the only way to be Mekayem Mitzvah Puru Revu is by having one Zachar, one Nekeva. If a person is called Banav Zacharim, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of Puru Revu. So why is that Ashrei? He's missing out on the very first mitzvah in the Torah. So he suggests, no, it doesn't mean all of his children. It means the majority, that if he has all boys and one girl, so then Ashrei, then he's so fortunate. What's so fortunate about that? Girls are wonderful. So the Gemara Mesachas Sanhedrin tells us, yeah, but they come with a lot of worries. worries, that a person is always worried about his daughters. Fathers tend to be very protective of their daughters, and they're always worried about what's going to be with them and how they're going to, if someone is going to take advantage of them, if they're going to find the right shidduch, who's going to take care of them properly. So since there's a lot of daga when it comes to daughters, that's the ashrei and the oy. The Me'iri says different. The Me'iri in Maseches Kiddushin says, no. Look at what it says. Ashrei mishabanov zecharim. Mishabanov nekevos. Shouldn't it be benosav nekevos? Why is it banav nekevos? So it says the Me'iri, zecharim and nekevos over here refers to not the actual gender of the child, but it refers to particular midah, that banim that males tend to be providers and females tend to need to be provided for. So he's saying that what the Gemara is actually saying is Arshemi Shabanav Zecharim, that someone whose children are providers for other people, but not whose children are always requiring the assistance of other people, male or female, in either direction. The Gra has a fascinating comment in the Kol Eliyahu on Maseches Basra, where he says, no, in general, more bracha is brought, the more women there are in the world, the more bracha there will be in the world in terms of potential for more children. Meaning, imagine that you have a desert island where there is where there are 100 women and 2 or 3 men. So a year later, biologically, it's possible that there will be 100 babies that are born from that, because one man can impregnate many women. But if you had the reverse, if you had 2 or 3 women and 100 men, a year later, you're only going to have 2 or 3 babies. So from a world perspective, especially in a world where a man can marry more than one woman, you're going to have more riboy, that's bali olam, as a result of more women. But from a family perspective, from a more limited perspective, if a person has a son, so how many grandchildren is he going to have? So if you have a son who's able to marry multiple wives, so he can impregnate many women, so your own family will be larger, even though from a world perspective, you're not contributing. So Asher Misha Banav, on a personal level, says the Gra. The Gra explains, the Gemara in Bava Basra over there, the Gemara says that someone had a daughter, and one of the other Amoraim said that Riboy Baal Yolam, that you brought Riboy into the world. And the other response was, Tanchum Shal Hevel Micham Chavucha, that your father gave you Tanchum Shal Hevel, because Asher Mishbarim Zachar Malam Mishbarim Nekeva. So the Gra says the whole comment was about how many people you're bringing into the world. So when you bring another Nekeva into the world, there's Riboy into the world. There's more potential for more life to be brought into the world. But on a personal level, in terms of the growth of your family, so that's going to be more limited if you have only girls, as opposed to if one were to have sons. Now, we refer to this group as the Kas Ha'atzlanis, the lazy group, because they could have done it earlier. So even though they didn't do anything that was against the halacha, they brought the Karban Pesach, and they did it in a time where there was a Karban Pesach had to be brought. So it's still, because they could have done it earlier, they're criticized. There's a Tshuvas Ma'arit in Chelek Aleph Siman Sadi Zayin, where he criticizes a kihila that has the practice of davening mincha right before Shkia. Why? You could have done it earlier. Why do you wait until right before Shkia in order to daven mincha? And he quotes our sugya that this kashlishis is called the kasa atzlanis. So he says kol shkein, that you shouldn't have kavan l'chadchila to dafka daven at that point. So in Aruch HaShulchan, some reish lam gimel siv ches, he notes this. He says that really it's not right. People shouldn't wait to daven mincha until the very last possible moment right before Shkia. But he says alamai, what are we supposed to do? Rachman l'tzlan, people have a hard time with parnasa. They can't stop in the middle of the day in order to daven. So we have to daven at a time when we're able to. And very often, the only time that we're able to is right before Shkia. On the flip side, though, in Shari Chuvin, Sim Reish Lamedei, Sivkat and Beis, he quotes that the Arizal Dafka had a minug to daven by Shkia Sachama. That was Arizal's minug, even on Erev Shabbos, and there was some special, the Arizal had a particular minion that would daven with him, and they would Dafka wait until that time. So apparently there's some special value of specifically davening at that time against what the Ma'arit writes in the Tshuva, that a person should not delay until that time to daven. Says the Gemara Vayitunab, Kemaseo B'chol, the same way they would do Karban Pesach on a weekday, so too they would do on Shabbos. The only thing is, the Mishnah said that they would clean off the floor of the Azara, Shalom Beratzon Chachamim. They would be madiach es azara. They would rinse out the azara. Shelo beratzon chacham. So shelo beratzon man. Who was against this this practice of rinsing the floor of the azara? Amar Rav Chisa shelo beratzon Rabbi Eliezer. It's against Rabbi Eliezer because Rabbi Eliezer holds that if someone sweeps a floor on Shabbos, he's chayev chatas. So if you rinse a floor, it's similar to sweeping a floor. So rinsing the azara is going to be a violation of something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Di rabbanon ha'amri shvosu vein shvos b'migdash. Rabbi Eliezer is one that holds that it's a nisur d'oraisa. The rabbanon hold that it's only a shvos, and the rule is that ain't shvos b'migdash. That there is no, there are no dinim d'rabbanon, yisurim d'rabbanon that are mishum shvos that we that are observed in the mikdash. We assume in the mikdash everyone is reason, everyone is super careful, and therefore there's no need to be gozer on a shvos in the mikdash. So that's why ain't shvos b'migdash. There is a discussion in the poskim when we say ain't shvos b'migdash whether that's only by Yisurei Shabbos or even other Yisurim Drabanan, Ein Shvos B'Migdash. The Marsha in the Sechah Shabbos writes that within Shitas Tosos, that Dafke Yisurei Shabbos Midrabanan, they allowed in the Migdash. But all other Yisurim Drabanan is still us even in the base of Migdash. But the Rambam Shita is not that way. The Rambam in Maisar Kabbanas, Parak Dalet, Halacha Ches, says by Shchitas Kabbanas in the Migdash, he says, V'shochit Shnayim or Rov Shnayim, Kidei Sheyiskabel Adam Kulo Bekli. So Prim Gadim says that by Shchitas Chulin, the Gemara Maseches Chulin says that even though Midar Raisa, you only need to shecht Rov Simanim, Midrabanan, we require shechting Kol Shnei Simanim. You have to shecht the entirety of the Simon. So how come the Rambam says in the Migdash they would only shecht Rov Simanim? What about the Din Drabanan? That you got to shecht Kol Simanim? Elamai, it must be that that there's no Shvus B'Migdash, and that's why you're allowed to shecht Kol Simanim. That's why you're allowed to shecht Rov Simanim. But that has nothing to do with Hilchas Shabbos. So it's a raya. The Shitas Rambam is not that Ein Shvus B'Migdash is not a klal in Hilchas Shabbos. It's a klal in general. So Mayhi, where do we find that there's such a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, where the sweeping the floor is an Issa D'Oraisa or an Issa D'Rabbanan? The Tanya, the Brisa tells us as follows: Echad Acholev, whether a person milks an animal, the Hamechabet, or a person separates the curds from the wave, Hamegabein, or someone who makes cheese by gathering together all of the curds and attaching them together into cheese on Shabbos, because they're all a violation of an Issur Melacha on Shabbos. Someone who milks an animal, it's a Tolda Mefarek, which is a part of Melacha of Dush. Mechabit is a Tolda of Borer. Megabin is a Tolda of Bona. So in all these things, our Asr on Shabbos could grow gross. The shear of grogros. If you do it to such a shear, so then you're going to be chayiv on Shabbos. So the Brisa goes on to say that if a person sweeps the house, or if a person is merabetz, he sprinkles some water on the floor so that the dirt doesn't come up from the floor. Varod the chalos tavash, or a person takes down the chalos tavash from the beehive that are made out of the beeswax. So b'shogig b'shabbos chayiv chatos. So if he does a b'shogig on Shabbos, he's chayiv chatos. He's chayiv carbon chatos, meaning it's nisa d'oraisa. He's b'yom tov lokas arbaim. If he doesn't b'mezid on yom tov, he's going to be chayiv malkus. Div Rabbi Eliezer. That's Rabbi Eliezer Shita, because mechabir merabetz. Because mechabir merabetz, you're going to be mashvegumos. You're going to fill in the holes in the ground, and that's going to be a violation of the malacha of bona. Being rode chalos tavash is being tolish davar mimakum gidulo. It's uprooting something from where it's attached, and that's a violation of the malacha of kotzer. And the Chum say, nah, sweeping and being merabates and redias chalos tavash, all of that is only an isser midrabanan. Why? Because when you sweep, you're not actually being mashvegumos. It's a chashash that you might be mashvegumos. That if there are holes in the floor, so then you might be filling them in by sweeping the floor. But the whole thing is only an isser midraban. Being rode chalos tavash is also not an isser daraisa, because you're not being tolish min akarka. You're being rode chalos tavash. You're not taking that which is growing from the ground and pulling it out of the ground. So that's not a violation of an issa d'oraisa. So apparently, according to the Chachamim, mechabed is only a shavus. So therefore, you're allowed to be madiach liazara on Shabbos, because ain't shavus b'migdash. But according to Rabbi Eliezer, mechabed and madiach likarka is a violation of an issa midaraisa. And therefore, they're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, and that's why it's shalom beretzon Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer would be against this idea idea of rinsing out the floor of the Azara. Rav Ashi Amar Afilu Tema Shelo Beretzon Chachamim Rabbi Nasani. We could even say that Shelo Beretzon Chachamim is even fit according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and hold that Adacha is only a Shavuos. Aye, why is it Asur in the Mikdash? Because of Rabbi Nasani. We're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Nasan. The time Rabbi Nasan Omer Shavuos Tzricha Yitiru. Shavuos Sheina Tzricha Lo Yitiru. That even when we allow a Shavuos in the Mikdash, we only allow a Shavuos that's necessary for the Avodah. But a Shavuos that's unnecessary for the Avodah, we're not going to allow in the Mikdash. So even if you hold that Hadacha, that rinsing the floor is only innocent to Rabbanan, yeah, but why is it so necessary? They already were makar of the Karban Pesach. Okay, so the place is a mess, but as far as the Avodah is concerned, the Avodah is already done, so it doesn't aid in the Avodah in any way. So such a Shavuos, they were not matir in the Mikdash, even though it's only in the Sidra Banan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kosa Yimimale. Then we said that Rabbi Yehuda holds that they would fill up a kos of dam from all the dam that was on the floor in the Azara, and there would be Zorek from that kos of dam. So Tani Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kosa Yimimale Midam HaTarovis. They would fill up a kos from the blood of all the mix of the blood of all the karbanos that were there. Shemishavik Dama Shalachan Mehen, because if the blood of any one of the karbanos spilled on the floor and they hadn't been and before it had a chance to be nisrak on the mizbeach, nimtza zemach shiro. So now by taking this one kos of the tarovis of all the dam of all the karbanos and being zorikin on the mizbeach, so now you're covering just in case there was any karban that who didn't have its blood thrown on the mizbeach. But wait a second, the dam fell right onto the floor. It was never niskabel in a kli. And the dam that spills right onto the floor before it has kabbalah b'kli is ein lo takana. There's no way to make it okay. It's not kosher for zrika. So how are you helping anything by being zorik such dam? So says Rabbi Noyadi, how did the Chum know that the dam necessarily fell straight from the animal's neck onto the floor and was not niskabel b'kli? Elachi karmeli. No, that what they were saying is shema. I don't know, but I also don't not know. Meaning, it could be that it was not niskabel b'kli. So it could be that there was dam that went straight from the neck of the animal straight onto the floor, and that animal never had a zrika sadam on the mizbech. And now you're gonna be zorik that dam. It's not gonna help. So Avanilo Amarti Ella b'niskabel b'kli. No, Rabbi Yehuda says I agree. We're not gonna solve everybody's problems for every single karban, but there may be karbanos where they did have a kabbalah b'kli, and then the blood spilled out of that Kli and is now on the floor. So for those karbanos, you're going to be helping. For those karbanos that was never niskabel b'kli that just went straight onto the floor, you're right. You're not going to be helping anything. So minayah, how did Rabbi Yehuda know that the dam that he's memali in the coast is niskabel b'kli shares and then was spilled out? Maybe it was spilled out in zayin lo takana. So Kanam's reasoning, he says, no, there's got to be some where it was niskabel b'kli and then it was spilled out, and that's the more likely scenario than dam that was just went straight onto the floor, because Kranimer's reason, and therefore the dam, they would not have allowed dam to just spill right on the floor. We don't assume that would have happened. So says Mara, well, his reason, if they're so careful, am I mishtabach? Why did it ever spill? After it was in Skabal B'kli, how did they let the Kli spill out? Because of their zrizus, they're in such a rush. So when you're in such a rush, something might spill over, but they're not going to forget to do Kabbalah Sadam. It's just that after they've done Kabbalah Sadam, because they're running all over the place and they're bringing, you know, the number of Karbanos Pesach, they had to be Keflayim Kiyotzi Mitzrayim on that one year where they had to bring so many Karbanos Pesach. So then it's likely that something is going to spill in all of the rush. Wait a second, there's other dam, there's the dam atamtis, the dam that continues to drain out of the animal, that's also mixed in with the dam hanefesh that's on the Ritzpas HaZara, and the dam hanefesh is kasher l'zrika, but the dam atamtis is outnumbers the dam hanefesh, it's much greater than the dam hanefesh, and therefore it should be batel barov. So how does your zrika's dam help if you're taking a mixture of dam atamtis and dam hanefesh, but you know that there's way more dam Matamtzis, and the Damatamtzis is not kosher for the Zrika. Shouldn't that be Mevatel, the Damanefesh? So says more Rabbi Yehuda Tameh, Damar Damatamtzis, Damal Yehu. This is Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa, because Rabbi Yehuda holds Damatamtzis is also absolutely as a status of Dam and is kosher for Zrika. Ditanya, because we have such a Brisa where we have a Machlokas. Damatamtzis, if you have the blood that just drains out of an animal, whether it be Chulin or Kachim, Ba'ashara, it's a violation of a Losase. and to eat such dam. So you see that you're not chayiv kares unless it's dam nefesh, because it's only a violation of a lav, but not an isur kares. But Rabbi Yehuda omer, be kares. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not just a lo sasei, it's a chiyuv kares when you have dam atamtis. Dam atamtis is dam gamur, it's the same as dam nefesh, and therefore it's going to be kosher for zrika as well. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, mod Rabbi Yehuda lin kapara sheinu mechaper. Aye, but didn't Rabbi Lazar say that even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you chayiv kares for eating dam atamtis, is going to be moded that it's not mechaper when you're zorik the dam atamtis on the mizbech? Shenemar, because the pasuk says ki adam hu benefesh yechaper, dam shanefesh yotzebo mechaper. And we darshan that only the dam that the nefesh is yotzebo, that the animal loses its life with, the dam that spritzes out upon the shechita, only such dam is mechaper. But dam shein nefesh yotzebo ain't a mechaper. Dam that the nefesh is not yotzebo is not going to provide a kapara. Ela Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, damar ein dam evatal dam. So we have to switch to a different answer. The reason that Rabbi Yehuda says you could take a kos of this dam atarovis and be zorik on the mizbech is not because the dam atamtis is also good for zrik on the mizbech. It's not. The dam atamtis is not okay for zrik on the mizbech. The reason he holds it's okay to do that is because the dam nefesh does not become batel in dam atamtis. Because ein dam evatal dam, when you have two types of dam that are mixed with each other, this is Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa. Rabbi Yehuda holds all over the place. Min bimino eno batal. The Gemara Maseches Zvachim tells us the basis for Rabbi Yehuda, that if you have dam that's nisariv b'mayim, if it looks like dam, it's kosher. If it's nisariv b'dam behemaskulin or b'dam chaya, you have to view the apostle as if it's mayim, and if there's b'kosher, in order to be maris dam, then it would be kosher, otherwise it would be pasul. That's the sheet of the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Yehuda says, ein dam evatel dam. Well, why ein dam evatel dam? So we do hold that whatever you have, min bimino is eino batel. The Ran explains, one of the more famous Rans in Maseches Nedarim, that the logic for Rabbi Yehuda of min bimino eino batel is that the very notion of bittel is that you have two things with opposite qualities and one overwhelms the other. That's the concept of bittel. A drop of milk goes into my chicken soup, so there's so much chicken soup it overwhelms the qualities of the milk to the point that the milk isn't even there. But when you have two like kinds, you have min bimino, one doesn't overwhelm the other. Adrabah, they're exactly the same as each other, and therefore each one enhances the other. So the very notion, meaning I take a little drop of chicken soup and I drop of trefa chicken soup and I put it into my kosher chicken soup, now I have more chicken soup. I have enhanced chicken soup. It wasn't the qualities of the chicken soup, of the trefa chicken soup, aren't gone. Adrabah, they're now enhanced. Now I can taste them in their fullest flavor. Now that they're mixed with the rest of the chicken soup. So that's why min bimino ein batel, ein dam evatel dam. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, for zrika on the mizbeach, you could be zorek this combination of dam atamtzis and dam nefesh. So now the Gemara brings the hemshich of the brisa, where Rabbi Yehuda is going to bring a raya to his sheet. Tanya amalan Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda tainis to the chachamim lidivreichem. According to you, that they would not fulfill, they would not fill up a kos from the dam atar. Why would they plug up the azara to allow the backup of dam if they didn't have to fill up a kos to do it for zrika? Meaning, apparently, that was the practice. They would close up the drainage system so that blood would back up and would fill up the whole azara. So Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, shevach l'bnei Aaron shielcha ad arkav v'seim b'dam, that it was a shevach to the bnei Aaron to be walking knee deep in blood, and in order to achieve that shevach, to be able to have the kohanim walking knee deep in blood, that's why they were poking as azara. That's why they plugged up the azara. From the pashas of the lashon of the gemara, it sounds like that even according to the chachamim, they would be poking the azara. The whole question was, why would they do it? The Tosefes Kedusha Maseches Vachim asks why it is that the Rambam in Hilchos Korban Pesach, when he goes through the seder Asiyas HaPesach, leaves out that detail that they were were pokekin as azara. It sounds clear in the Gemara that everyone agrees that they would actually do that. Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Choshem Mishpah Chelik Beis Siman Samachalif Os Dalid, where he says that according to the Shitas Rambam, that there's no mitzvah to dafka walk in the dam. And if the Kohanim had a hard time walking al gabe itztva, like the Gemara is going to say, they would walk on a platform, they would not be poking the azara. Meaning, it wasn't something that was necessarily required to be poking the azara, and that's why the Rambam didn't mention it. But what's the shevach? Why is it a good thing to be walking around in knee deep in blood? So the Meiri explains that the shevach is to show the shevach of the nation. Look how many people brought a carbon pesach, that there's so much dam in the azara. It's not a shevach for the Kohanim, but the Kohanim would suffer that indignity to show the shevach of Klal Yisrael, that look what a mess this place is because of all these people doing Avodas Hashem, all of these people wanting to bring karbanos. However, others explain, other achronim suggest, no, it's a shevach for the Kohanim. This is the exact opposite of what we finished the last parak with. We remember we said Yisachar Ish Bar Kayi, who used to wear gloves when he would do the Avodah, and the terrible end that he suffered because he said, I don't want to get my hands dirty with the Avodah. No, these Kohanim didn't mind. They would walk knee deep in blood, even though that would seem to be a very undignified thing to do, but it's for Avodas Hashem, and that's therefore a totally appropriate thing to do. The Chasam Sofer has a comment in Masechah Sukkah where he says that if you have an esrog that has all sorts of spots and stains on it because it was used so much for Nanuim, so since it was done through the Kiyum HaMitzvah, Zehu Hodo Vahadro, says the Chasam Sofer. The esrog is supposed to be Hadar, that's the most beautiful esrog in the world. That if the esrog became spotty and disgusting as a result of many people doing the mitzvah. Zehu hodo v'hodro. That's also called a hidr mitzvah. It's a famous comment that the Chasam Sofer has. Someone once told me that they were giving a shir and they were talking about an esrog hakushi, a black esrog. And an old yid came over to him after the shir and said, you don't know what an esrog hakushi is. He said, when I was growing up in Europe, there was only one town that had an esrog among all the neighboring towns. One person in one shul had an esrog somewhere in Hungary, and he said that they hired a guy to bring the esrog after each person in the shul shuk dal and minim. They would hire a guy to bring that esrog to the next town over, where it was passed around the entire shul, and then bring it to the next town over. He said by the time I had the esrog, it was an esrog hakushi. It was a totally black esrog by all the handling that people were handling it. He said it was the most beautiful esrog I've ever seen in my entire life. That zehu hodo v'hodro. That's exactly what the Chasam Sofer is. Rabbi Shai Shechter told me, he mentioned this to his father, he said, I thought esrog hakushi means that it comes from a region of Kush, that it doesn't mean that it's the actual color. Okay, but still, it's a beautiful story. So that's the hodo v'hodro of the esrog and of these mitzvos, and that's the shevach to the Bnei Aaron that they go ad arkuvuseyem bedam. So frakting marva kachait, but how can they walk around in dam? It's going to be chatzitza between their feet and the ritzpas ha'azara, and you can't have such a chatzitza. So it says about lachu veinu chotetz. No, it's moist, and if it's moist, it's not a chatzitza. Kedetanya hadam vadyo v'acholav v'advash yivesh v'chotzin lach and ein chotzin. When it comes to any liquids, only when they're dry they're chatzitza. But when they're moist, it's not considered to be a chatzitza. Things that are wet are not considered to be a chatzitza. That's a question. When a person is putting on tefillin, if you took a shower in the morning and you're putting on tefillin, is that considered to be a chatzitza? Is the water in your hair, so it's unwise, just in general, you don't want to get your tefillin wet, but is the water in one's hair considered to be a chatzitza between his hair and the tefillin? Do we assume that lachu ve'eno chotzitz, that something that's lach is always going to be eino chotzitz? Or do we assume that there are circumstances where even that which is lach is going to be chotzeitz? You have such a comment in the Sidrei Tara. In the Shvus Yaakov raises the question, the Ramah Paskins in some Kuf Tzadiches, that if a person's umnus is a shochet or a katzav, he's a butcher, he's a shochet, so his hands are always dirty with blood, so it's not going to be a chatzitza for tevila, because it's a miut she'ino makbid. So it's not going to be a chatzitza for tevila. So they ask, but now sugya, it sounds like, even though it's a shevach for Bnei Aaron to go out of the same Bedam, the Gemara still asks that it should be considered a chatzitza. So it sounds like, but for the fact that it was lach, even though Bnei Aaron were dealing with dam all the time, it would still be a chatzitza. So that's what the Sidrei Tara suggests. He gives a few answers, but one of the answers the Sidrei Tara suggests is that there's a difference between a kohen whose entire feet are covered by blood, where it's not a miut, it's kulo, it's not even rubo. The entire connection between the kohen and the Ritzvah Hazara has blood in between it. So in between him and the Ritzvah Hazara, so you don't have the heter of saying miut sheino makbid. So you have a lot of dinim of chatzitza that need to be studied in light of this Gemara. Now, again, the Gemara is assuming that it would be that the blood would be a chatzitza, even though they're always dealing with blood. And that which is lach is not a chatzitza, only that which is yavesh is a chatzitza. So, frakt the Gemara v'kametavsi manayu. But wait a second, aren't there clothing? Aren't there bigdei kuhuna going to get all bloody? V'tanya ubegadav metushtashin va'avad avodas psula. Halacha is if a kohen does the avoda with stained clothing, the avoda is pasul. V'chitem at the madlul manayu. So you say, oh no, they'll just lift up the bigdei kuhuna, so the begadim won't get messy. V'tanya midovad midasu k'midasu shleiach suv leyosir. The begadim have to fit perfectly. They're not allowed to be long, they're not allowed to be short. So how can it be that he'd be walking around lifting up the big dekuna? So it answers the Gemara when we said that they would walk in down, that was only when they were bringing the Evarim to the ramp of the Mizbeach to be maktir the Evarim. That's not considered an avoda. It doesn't require a big dekuna, and therefore they were able to lift up their big dekuna at that time. So says the Gemara, Velo, is that true? Halacha Evarim to the Kevish is not considered an avoda? Remember we said that shchitas kshera bizar, but mikabala va'elach you need kuhuna. It's mitzvah kuhuna. Kabbalah sadam, halacha sadam, zrika sadam. All of that requires kuhuna, including halacha sadam. So if it requires kuhuna, doesn't that tell you that it's navoda? Titanya. The Brisa tells us v'ikra v'koin esakol hamizbecha. When it talks about the karbanola, it says v'ikra v'koin esakol and v'hikter hamizbecha zu halach sevarm lekevesh. That the hakrava that it's talking about of being makriv and then it talks about being maktir afterwards, means bringing the Evarim to the Kevesh. So you see that it is an Avodas Kuhuna. And it does require big day Kuhuna. So how can you say the Kohanim were lifting up their begadim as they were doing the Halacha? Elo b'alachas eitzim l'maracha d'avodi. No, it must be talking about that they're bringing the eitzim to the maracha on the Mizbeach. That was not considered an Avodah. That's when they were able to lift up their clothing. B'alachas Evarim l'kevesh b'alachas dam miyah hechiyazi. Okay, but if the place was filled with blood, still, how did they do the other things? How did they do the things that were avoda, bringing the evarim, bringing the dam. If after all, the whole floor was full of blood. So it says, the maskia itztavi. They must have been walking on platforms that were built above the ritzpah so that they wouldn't have to get their, they wouldn't have to actually walk knee deep in blood. So then we said, what would they do? They would hang the animal on hooks or on these boards or on each other's arms if they didn't, and then they would rip open the animal. They would pull out all of the insides of the animals, and they would put it into a large plate or a large bowl, and they would be makter it on the mizbeach. Together, that's Torah Seimurim. So atuhu gufei have a maktelu is the guy who's doing the skinning of the animals done by a zar. He's the one that was makter the emurim. That can't be. You need a kohen to be makter the emurim. Seima lehaktir on algavi mizbeach. No, not that he would then go and be maktir, but he was doing it lehaktiran so that it can someone else will then go and be maktir on the mizbeach. Yatsa kasrishona. We then said the first group would leave, and they would wait until they go to Arabayis and wait until Shabbos was over, and only then after Shabbos was over they would roast the Karban Pesach. When Erev Pesach fell on Shabbos and they had to wait for a while by the Harabayis or by the Chel or wherever it was that they were waiting, or in the Azar itself, each one would place the Karban Pesach inside of the skin that they had skinned off of the Karban Pesach, and they would hold it behind them like a sack. So Rav Ilish said that is exactly the derech of Sochrim Yishma'elim. That is how Yishma'eli Sochrim used to schlep things around from one place to another. So the Acharon are bothered. What's he adding? That I really need to know what the practice of the Yishma'eli Sochrim was, that they would carry things in such a way that that's permissible. So that's what they would do. That was the practice. So the Rabbi Yaakov Emden explains, Rabbi Elish is being mechadesh, that it's appropriate to do that mishum chibuv mitzvah, that a person should not be worried about his own dignity when you're worried about kvod shemayim. So even though you might say this is so beneath me to act like sochrim yishma'elim, but if that's the way to protect the Karban Pesach and that's the best way to make sure that you still have your Karban Pesach and that you're guarding over it so you can hold it for a long period of time, so then that's what you do. You should be mevazi yourself for the kvod shemayim, and that ultimately is the greatest kavod for the person himself. The Rosh Yosef suggests that the Mishnah had said previously that when Erev Pesach is Chal on Shabbos, after the Shechitas of Pesach, they wouldn't bring it back to their homes. They would wait till after it gets dark, till after Shabbos is over. So why didn't they bring it back to their homes? You have to say that that's what the Tana is being miyashiv, that each one would place their Pesach in its skin and they would carry it like a sack. So Avilish explains that the derech of Sochrim Yishma'elim is to carry that way, and therefore they couldn't carry it because it's uvdin d'chol, meaning if that's the way people carry things when they're doing business, so then it becomes uvdin d'chol to carry something in such a way. It's always an interesting discussion. What exactly is uvdin d'chol? What is the geder of uvdin d'chol? What kinds of activities are uvdin d'chol? How does one define such a thing? So the poskim struggle to come up with a clear definition. But one possible definition is, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, that anytime someone does something where you would look at that and say, yeah, that's something you do on a weekday, even if it involves no malacha whatsoever, you would just say that's a kind of a weekday activity. So I would always give the example, like you see someone with a work briefcase, you know, a person carrying a briefcase. I don't know what's in there, and there's an Eruv, and he's not doing any malacha, and there's a... But who carries a briefcase on Shabbos? So it must be that it's like a weekday activity. That's the Uvdu D'chol. So it just occurred to me that that's exactly, according to this understanding, it's exactly the case the Gemara is giving of Uvdu D'chol, carrying something like the Derech Sochrim Yishma'elim. You're not doing any malacha. You're not doing anything that even looks like a malacha. But you're doing something that looks like what people would do when they were during a weekday activity. Okay, Hadron Lachtam Nishchat Bezrem. Tomorrow we will begin the sixth parak of Maseches Pesachim. Everyone have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.